So if you have your Bibles and would like to look with us tonight into the book of St. Mark's Gospel, praise the Lord, in the book of St. Mark, the 11th chapter, amen, we'll begin reading to you there in verse 11. St. Mark 11 and verse 11. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out into Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it, and they come to Jerusalem. And then moving down unto verse 20, And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold the fig tree, which thou cursed, is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Gideon, hid over by the wine press, threshing wheat, hiding it from the Midianites, and because the oppression of the Midianites, hid down by the wine press and began to thresh wheat there. And God sent an angel down, and the angel sat down under the oak. And as Gideon began to thresh wheat, the angel spoke and said, Thy mighty man of valor, the Lord is with thee. And Gideon asked a question that's on my heart tonight. He said, If the Lord be with us, then why has all these things befallen us? And where be the miracles that our fathers told us of when they come up out of the land of Egypt? We believe in holiness. You look this congregation over tonight, and for most part, we cannot put our finger on the way nearly anyone dresses or looks in this congregation. Every one of us says that God is with us. That we as a holiness people, we have the power of God, we say. I ask you this question. If God is really with us, then where is all the miracles that our fathers told us of that's happened in times past? I, for one, believe that miracles is still for the church today. And I believe they are for the holy people of God. But there's something we have lost that needs to be recovered, and that is our faith in God to work the supernatural. We do the natural things. God does the supernatural. We do the possible, but God does the impossible. I, for one, am hungry, Brother Fred, to see the miracle working power back among God's holy people, healing the sick and doing the mighty things that we've read about in the Word of God. There is a lack of faith in our hearts. Now please don't fall out with me. I believe that we ought to serve God in the beauty of holiness. But I want you to know, no matter how good the standard of holiness is, no matter how great a doctrine we preach, if we do not preach faith in the living God of heaven, we are missing the plan of God's holy book. For this is a faith book. We walk by faith and not by sight. Brother, the things that are done by God are done by faith in God. You are saved because because you believe that Jesus Christ died. Amen. That He rose again from the dead. And by believing on Him, you are saved by faith. Oh, there is a lack of real demonstration of our faith even among the holiness people. Now you're going to fall out with me, maybe, but maybe not. But we look at the denominational churches and we say, look how they have drifted. And it's true, they have drifted in many areas. They have drifted from the holiness standards. They have drifted from the standard of dress. They have drifted from the standards and precepts that their forefathers taught in the church. But we as holiness people have also drifted in many areas. We may still have our long hair on the ladies and our long sleeves and our long dresses. But I ask you this question, where is our faith in the true and the living God to see the supernatural acts that they had in the early church? The Bible said in Hebrews 11 and 8, that Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. If that be the truth, and if we have received the same Holy Ghost they received on the day of Pentecost, then brother, we ought to have the same power and the same miracles that they had in the early church. And if we do not have, I question the fact about our faith in the true and the living God. In Hebrews 11 chapter, known as the faith chapter, that little man Paul, history, one historian said he was only 4'9". It's a pretty small man, isn't it? I mean, that's like this. Maybe he was bigger, but that was a short man at the least. But he got to preaching a big message one day, and he said in Hebrews 11, now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. With a little preacher like that, looked like that would be enough text to preach on. But he didn't stop there. That little preacher said, amen, by faith. Amen. We understand through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So the things which are seen, amen, were not made of the things which do appear. Well, little preacher, you better stop there. Your message is going to get too big for you. But he says, by faith, Cain offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Or by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Amen. By which he obtained witness that he was faithful, God testifying to his gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. You ought to stop right there. But he says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Little man, your message is getting too big. But he said, oh no, amen, by faith Enoch, he walked with God. Amen. And he was not. Amen. For God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Well, I would have at least stopped there, but not this little preacher. Amen. He said, by faith Noah. Amen. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, he moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness, which is by faith. At least stop there. But he said, oh no, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a land which he should afterward receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith he dwelt in the promised land, amen, as in a strange country, dwelling with Isaac and Jacob, heirs of with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now the little man's preaching about faith. Ought to stop there, but he says, oh no, amen, by faith Sarah, when she was past age, amen, she was delivered of a child. And from that child, amen, there was such a multitude, amen, that is innumerable as the stars of the sky and the sands down by the seashore. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, believing that God was able even to raise him from the dead. You'd have stopped right there at least, wouldn't you, Brother Danny? But not the little preacher with the big message. He goes on and he says, by faith, amen, Jacob, when he was dying, amen, bless both of the sons. Amen. And the Bible tells us, amen, that he leaned on his staff and worshiped God in his dying hour. By faith, he worshiped God at death's door. Are you listening to me? By faith, Joseph, he gave commandment concerning his bones. Well, you better stop somewhere, preacher. You'll never get all that covered. He said, but let me tell you about Moses. By faith, Moses, amen, was hid by his parents 3 months. When they saw he was a proper child, they hid him 3 months. Amen. I'd stop there, but he goes on. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest that wicked one that destroyed should touch him. But he didn't stop there. He goes on down, and he said, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. And by faith, the Rahab harlot perished not with them that perished when she had received the spies. But all of a sudden, everywhere this man looked through the records of God, and everywhere he looked at the people of God, he saw faith everywhere he looked. And he said, sure, he must have said it to himself, my Lord, this thing's getting too big for me. For he said, what shall I say more? For time would fail me to tell you of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, quenched the violence of the fire, and quenched the sword. Brother, anywhere you want to look in God's book, you'll find it is a faith book. But where is our faith tonight? Have faith in God. But where's it at? Brother, let me tell you something. If I'm broke, hadn't got a penny in my pocket, and I'm broke, and somebody I know that's well fixed financially comes over to me and says, Brother Rich, I heard you're broke, and I just deposited $1,000 over in your account. And here's the passbook to prove it. Well, I don't look in my empty pockets to see how much money I've got. I look in my passbook. And I say, right here, it says I've got $1,000 deposited in my account. Well, I'd like to tell you, don't you look at your condition tonight to determine where you're at with God. Look at God's passbook, brother. All the promises of God are yea and amen to everyone that believeth. I'll tell you tonight, we need faith restored back to the church of the living God, where we can see the miracles and put this reproach off of us that's lying upon us. Sure, the world's tired of the charismatics, and I am too. Amen? Sure, the world's getting tired of worldliness. But I wonder if they're getting tired of us claiming to hold the highest standard in the nation, among the nations, and yet we have no faith in God. Brother Fred, come here to me. Come here, son. Have you got any confidence in what I tell you? You must have, or you wouldn't have invited me down here to preach this meeting. Amen. You must believe me. Amen. Well, I'm going to tell you something, son. Right over there by that black case, down there by there, there's a songbook there. There's a $20 bill over there in that. Got your name on it. And I'm going to give it to you. Before you go, thank me.
Thank you, Brother Rich.
You believe me, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Go over there and get it. Amen. Right down by that black case. Amen. Look. Search it out. Is it in there? Let me tell you. He believed my word. I'm just a mortal man. Amen. I do not have any supernatural power of my own. But Jesus Christ said, all power is given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. And behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and upon scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. If we can take man's word, my God, let's believe God's word and have faith in God. Have faith in God. We're losing it, Brother Danny. We got red pills, green pills, white pills, blue pills, yellow pills, and in between, half and half, capsules, triangulars, rectangulars. But where's our faith in God? Oh, I felt this on my heart. Maybe it's not a camp meeting message, but oh, it's time the church, amen, once again, begin to believe in God. The Bible said in Luke 1:37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Amen. Do you believe that? Amen. We have the petitions. Amen. If we believe that, we have the petitions. Amen. That we ask for. Let me tell you, faith that is seen is not faith. Whenever you can see something, it is not faith. It's when you can believe God against all opposition, against all circumstances. You can stand on God's word. That is faith. In the 11th chapter of the book of St. John, amen, Lazarus, the brother of Martha and Mary, had died. Amen. Somebody told Jesus about Lazarus when he was still sick. Amen. They wanted Mary and Martha wanted him to come. Wanted Jesus to come and heal him. But Jesus stayed right where he was at. Pray for me now. Amen. Stayed right there where he was at. And finally told the disciples, amen, Lazarus is asleep. And they said, if he sleeps, Lord, he's doing well. But he spoke out plainly, said, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes. And he made his way over toward the city of Bethany. As somebody reported, Jesus of Nazareth is making his way into the city. The Bible said, Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she ran to meet him. But Mary, she sat still in the house. And Martha ran up to Jesus and said, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died. But oh, we think about Martha as the one that's always cumbered about with many cares. And Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. But please notice a statement of Martha's faith. She said, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to you. Even though my brother's dead, even there's a stone laid up at the grave, even though he's been dead 4 days, I believe that even now, whatever you ask of God, God's going to give it to you. And Jesus said, thy brother shall rise again. She said, Lord, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that believeth on me and liveth shall never die. Believest thou this? And she said, Lord, I believe that thou art the Son of God. Amen. The one who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. I believe you are, amen, divine. I believe you are God robed in the flesh. I believe in your divinity. I believe you are divine. I believe you are the one that the prophets prophesied about that would come. Amen. And the dead would be raised, the lame would leap like a hart, and the strength of the dumb tongues would be loosed. Lord, I believe you're the Son of God. And Jesus said, where have you laid him? About that time Mary came, and she also said, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother had not died. But that's as far as Mary went with it. And the Jews that had gathered, this man, if he would have been here, could not even cause this man that he would not have died. But over here's a woman with two words going over in her heart. Even now, Even now. Even now. Even now. Even now. Where have you laid him? And they said, come and see. And they come to the grave, and a stone lay at it. And Jesus said, move the stone away from the sepulcher. And Martha said, Lord, he's been dead 4 days. By this time he stinketh. But Jesus turned to Martha and said, said I not unto you that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. I believe once again those two words, even now, begin to roll over in Martha's heart. Now notice when Jesus walked up to the grave and they moved away the stone, he said, I thank thee, Father, that thou hast heard me. You hear it? Not that you're going to hear me, but I thank you, Father, that thou hast heard me. Brother, even though Lazarus was still in the tomb, grave clothes still around him, he was the same as a live man. When Jesus said, I thank you, Father, that thou hast heard me. When you reach that place in your prayer that you can say, I thank you, Father, that thou hast heard me. Amen. Then, brother, your prayer is the same as answered. And then Jesus goes up to the tomb and he cries out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. Amen. Bound in grave clothes and a napkin about his face. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. I used to go to the rodeo before I got saved. Hadn't been back since I got saved, either to the ball games, skating rinks, bowling alleys, or Disneyland, or any of them other worldly places. Hadn't been back to any of them. Amen. That's right. But I used to go to the rodeos. And the announcer would say, now watch gate 3. Amen. Rider so-and-so coming out of gate 3. Riding a Brahma bull or a wild a stallion. And everybody's eyes will be fixed on gate 3. And the announcer say, all right, open the gate and let him out. Loose him and let him go. And brother, everybody's eyes were fixed on that gate as that wild bronc or whatever it was come out of that gate. We have no Bible recording of this, but I have a feeling when Jesus said, loose him and let him go, and they got the grave clothes off of Lazarus and got the napkin off of his face, it might have took a racehorse to catch him. Amen. Whenever they finally got loosed, oh my God, give us faith in the true and the living God. Have faith in God. Maybe I'm preaching too long, but I'll tell you, we need to recover our lost faith. How many has faith in God? How many would have to say with the man of old, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And my hand goes up. Oh, you'll find recorded, pray for them, I'm getting mighty warm. Amen. You'll find recorded in the book of Luke, there was 10 men that were lepers. They came to Jesus and they stood afar off and cried out to be cleansed from their leprosy. Jesus looked at them and said, go shew yourself to the priest. You know the law, if a leper thought he was cleansed from his leprosy, he had to go show himself to the priest and be examined by the priest and pronounced clean. Amen. They looked at one another. Here the leprosy still hanging on their skin. And one of them said, they must have said, he said, go show ourselves to the priest. Let's go. Amen. I know we're still lepers, but let's go. And the Bible said, as they went, they were cleansed from their leprosy. Amen. I have no way of proving this. One may have went home to his wife. Amen. Been separated from her for a good while because of her disease. Others may went back. Amen. To the family. Somebody else might have took a stroll downtown because they've been shut outside the gates of the city. But there's one of those old boys got to looking at his skin. Said, I know the rest of you can go where you want to go, but I know where I'm going. I'm going to go back down there to that man and I'm going to thank him for what he has done. Let me tell you something. Amen. A lot of folks, about 9 of them got over it, but one of them never could get over it. Had to go back and fall at the feet of Jesus. Jesus. A lot of folks have got over what God's done. But oh, restore our faith and let us fall back at the feet of Jesus and thank Him again for salvation, for providing healing for us, and providing a way that we can escape the things that are coming upon the face of this earth. Have faith in God. The story is told of a little girl who attended a revivalist healing campaign. I'd like for you folks to know that not all of those big campaign preachers that have backslid and went back on God, not all of them are false. Some of them at one time possess mighty power with Almighty God. And I often wonder that we prayed for them as much as we've criticized them. Will we not have some more giants of faith in our land today? Listen to me. But in the year of 48, a young girl went to a named healing evangelist. Her feet was born both of them club, twisted clear around behind her. According to the account, she went to this meeting, her mother and father carrying her there. She sat in a congregation. She listened to the preacher preach on faith. At the close of his message, he said, God will honor any man, woman, boy, or girl's faith. Anytime you believe on God with all of your heart, soul, and mind, and do not doubt, God will heal anybody. The story said the little girl tapped her mother on the shoulder and said, Mommy, he's talking about me. And she said, No, honey, he's not talking about you. But Mommy, he said, God would heal anybody. And she said, Yes, honey, but you know your condition. You've been to the doctors. The doctor says not even operations would help you. Your case is hopeless. Amen. But others, yes, but not you. And so, amen. The next night, they come back to the same campaign. And the preacher preached again on faith. And I'd like to tell you, if you quit preaching salvation, there'll be nobody saved. If you quit preaching on the Holy Ghost, there'll be nobody filled with the Holy Ghost. And when we quit preaching faith and miracles and divine healing, there'll be nobody healed and there'll be no miracles among us. Are you listening to what I'm telling you tonight? The little girl said, Mama, listen. The preacher said, God can heal anybody that'll put their faith and trust in Him, no matter who you are, if you'll believe with all of your heart. She tapped her mom and daddy on the shoulder, said, Take me up there. Amen. He's talking about me. Mother said, Now listen. He's not talking about you. Just forget that. He's talking about some of these others that's able to walk up there. He's not talking about you. But Mama, he said anybody. Well, honey, he's not talking about you. So the story goes that she went home, and the next day she got out her piggy bank, got out of her money, and the mother made a remark. She was taking some of the other children to the store to buy shoes. Told her mother, said, Here's my money. I want you to buy me a pair of white shoes. And her mother said, Honey, you can't wear no shoes. Look at your feet. We have to have special wraps made for those club feet. But she said, Mommy, I want a pair of white shoes, and here's my money. Please get me some white shoes. The mother took her into town with her. According to the story, took her to a shoe store and had the clerk said, I'm sorry to bother you, but please look at this girl's poor club feet. And if you think you can, try to get a pair of shoes that would fit her if her feet were normal. And the clerk measured her out the best he could, gave her a pair of shoes, and they paid for them. And she went home gripping her little shoebox, according to the story. Amen. That night, they got ready to go to the campaign. And when they started to pick up the little girl to carry to the car, she had her shoebox with her. And her mother said, Honey, now leave that here. Folks will think you're crazy to carry in that shoebox. She said, No, Mama, let me take my shoes with me. Said, Honey, leave them here. People think it's silly for you to bring a pair of shoes. No, Mama, let me take them. And finally the mother gave in. And they took her to the campaign. And the preacher preached on faith again. After a while, he made the same statement, God can heal anybody and will honor anyone's faith that trusts in Him full-heartedly and wholeheartedly. She said, Mama, he said anybody, and I know he's talking about me. Mother said, no, daughter. Yes, Mama, take me up there. Daddy, take me up there. He's talking about me. Carry me up there. She kept on insisting till the daddy finally picked her up. And as he picked her up, she grabbed her shoebox and started to take it with her. He said, honey, leave that here. Said, no, I'm taking my shoes with me. Got up on the platform, put the little club-footed girl down on the platform, and the preacher was ministering to others. But after a while, he got over to the little girl. And he said, honey, what have you got in the box? And she said, I've got a pair of white shoes. And he said, what are you going to do with them? And she said, as soon as you get through praying for me, I'm going to put them on and wear them out of here. I'm telling you, brother, God will honor true faith. Are you listening to what I'm telling you? Have faith in God. The preacher turned to the congregation and said, in all of my ministry, I have never seen as much faith as this little girl has. He prayed for her and nothing happened. And the parents looked on in disappointment. But she started opening the shoebox. Said, Mama, put this shoe on me. Her mother said, honey, I don't believe I can. Said, yes, put it on me. When her mother reached down and started slipping the shoe on that foot, that club foot turned all the way around to normal. The other one remained, and the mother took out the other shoe with great joy. And as she slipped it onto that foot, it turned around, and the little girl walked out and wore her shoes out of that place. Amen. That can be found in the Pentecostal Evangel. You'll find that recorded in about year 1948. Amen. In the Assemblies of God Pentecostal Evangel, Brother Colin, you'll find that recorded there. What I'm trying to tell you, brother, it doesn't matter what the condition is. If you can have faith in God, God is still a God of miracles. He still has all power, and He's waiting to vindicate His power as soon as we show our faith in God. Well, you're looking at me like I'm preaching a strange doctrine, and I guess it is. Yeah, we can holler amen louder when we preach against televisions, because most of them don't have televisions. But when we preach against about having faith, not very many of us can say amen, because we don't have a whole lot of faith. Have faith in God. Oh, I wish I could get this message across to you tonight. Maybe you don't understand what I'm preaching. But I'm preaching, amen, that when we have faith in God, God can do the impossible. Jesus, in the second chapter of the book of John, sat at the wedding feast in Cana. And during the course of that wedding, they ran out of wine. And the mother of Jesus said to Jesus, they have no wine. He said, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. But she knew who he was. She remembered the angelic visit. She knew he was more than just a man. So she looked over at the servants and said, fill these water pots with water. He said, fill them with water. And the Bible said that they filled them halfway. Boy, I wish I could stop there and preach a while, being filled to the brim. But they filled them to the brim with water. And whenever they brought them in, Jesus said, draw out and bear to the governor. And the Bible said they drew out the water and bore it to the governor. They brought him a glass of water. But when he turned that glass of water up to his lips, the miraculous, mighty, holy, undefiled, glorious power of the Son of God transformed that water into wine when it touched the governor's lips. And he said, they've saved the best wine till last. And the Bible said this is the beginning of miracles which Jesus did. Can anybody show me where Jesus did a miracle? And the writer said, this is the ending of miracles. no place. Brother, we have a beginning, and God has still given the church power. If we'll have faith in God, we can still see miracles among the holiness people. I know a lot of these sorry devils have come through the country robbing the people and taking their money, preaching divine healing, and through psychology and deception have deceived many and left them in worse shape than they were before they came. But that doesn't change the mighty Holy Ghost power of the Son of God. I'm preaching tonight on have faith in God. I'm going to try to hurry and close. But oh, Brother Fred, the devil has robbed us of our miracles. What have we to offer? Amen. If we say we've got what the disciples had and cannot prove it. You preachers are looking at me strange. But are we imposters? If I read the Bible right, the early church went everywhere. God working with them. Confirming His Word with signs following. Is that Bible or not? But where they at? Gideon asked that same question. If God's with us, if we've still got the same Holy Ghost the early church had, why has all these things befallen us? And where is all the miracles that our fathers have told us about? I'll tell you what's wrong with most of us. We're wanting to see outward visible evidence before we can believe in our heart God's holy word. But you'll never see outward visible evidence until you first believe God's holy word. When Jesus cursed the fig tree, the leaves remained green. Nobody could tell it had been cursed. But that thing was just as dead as it would ever be. Right that very moment, it was just as dead as it would ever be. On the morrow, the disciples came by and they noticed it was withering. And they said, how soon the fig tree which thou cursed is dying. I'll tell you, it died from the roots. Not anything you could see, but down under the roots. No wonder Jesus said, have faith in God. You've got to believe this before you see it. Let me tell you something. I'm going to hurry and close, but I'm feeling something now. Did you remember whenever one of the prophets was over there? Amen. Was it Syria, Brother Fred? Amen. And the Syrian army had come past the prophet by, and it looked like there was no way out. And the servant there said to the prophet, alas, master, what are we going to do? Amen. But the prophet of the Lord said, there's more, amen, with us than there are with them. Oh, but listen, that prophet's servant, he couldn't seem to understand that. But finally the prophet said to God, open this young man's eyes and let him see. And when he saw the hills full of chariots and horses and fire. Listen to me. Amen. Those chariots and horses of fire was right there all the time. Before he ever got his eyes open, the protection was right there. It was there. It was there before he ever saw him. And I'm telling you, brother, the miracles of God are here tonight. If we can believe God first, then we're going to see the mighty miracle working power of the Son of God back among the holiness people. Say, Brother Rich, you're going to be branded as a latter rain. Call me whatever you want to call me. If I can get this power moving in my revivals, you can cast me out. I'll still have plenty of folks come to hear me preach. If I can get this power back in the church. Throw me out from the holiness ranks if I can get the power and faith moving once again and signs, wonders, and miracles. There'll be plenty of folks come to hear me preach the gospel. What brought a revival to the city of Samaria? Philip went down to the city of Samaria and he preached Christ to them. And unclean spirits began to cry with loud voices. They that were sick with palsies were healed. And the Bible said, then they believed Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Am I preaching Bible tonight? Oh, holiness preachers, do you feel like I do tonight? Just about this tall? Oh, brother, I heard a black man preach and I loved it. His topic was this, if God's done it once, he can do it again. Oh, I believe it, don't you? If God's done it once, he can do it again. Sister Rich,
Come here to me just a moment. Bless her. Hebrews 10:35, the Bible said, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Oh, hallelujah. The modernistic preachers, amen, would have us to believe that it's a sin and we're almost doing wrong if we believe in intercessory prayer. If we ask God for something more than once, they try to make us think that we've sinned. But this Bible teaches intercessory prayer. In the 18th chapter of Luke, it tells us about the unjust judge. Amen. God, the Son of God, teaching on prayer. Amen. In the 11th chapter, it also teaches us about the man, amen, who went to find and seek out loaves of bread for his friend at the midnight hour. And the Bible said that that man would not get up and give him bread at the midnight hour, but because of his importunity or his persistent knocking. After a while, three loaves of bread fell out the window somewhere, and the man went home back with what he came for. Amen. This doctrine I know is wrong. Amen. You know, name it and claim it. Live any way you want to, just name and claim it. Brother Green, I believe, said, blab it and grab it. Amen. That's not it. It's have faith in God. That's where the answer's at. Sister Rich, a few years ago, I was preaching in Riverbank, California. Sister Rich got down in her back, worse than this young sister right back there. And she was about your age then. She couldn't even walk. She'd have to crawl to the bathroom. She couldn't even stand up on her feet. We'd have to carry her. And you know how, where you stayed there at Riverbank, right behind the platform. Your bed was right there, just a wall between you and the platform. And here I'm, my wife's laying there, and God dealt with me to preach on divine healing. And my wife laying right there, not even able to come to church. But it doesn't matter. The Word of God is the Word of God, no matter what the circumstances are. I went out and I began to preach. Sister Rich reached over on the shelf and got her Bible and opened it to the second chapter of the book of Mark. She began to read along there with us, I believe, about the man who was sick of palsy. And he had four friends, Brother Danny Hudson, who came and got him when they heard that Jesus was in the city. They came and got him on a stretcher of some kind and carried him, his bed and all, amen, down to where Jesus was at. And there were so many in that house, they couldn't even get inside the door. But they crawled up on the roof and they tore a hole in the roof. All of a sudden, coming down through the roof is a bed, a sick man on the bed, and eight legs. Amen. Coming through the hole in the roof. Comes right down in the presence where Jesus is at. And the Bible said, when Jesus saw the hole in the roof, that's what most of us have been looking at. When Jesus saw the hole, no. When He saw their faith, my Lord, there's no act that man has ever done that's considered fanaticism by the Son of God when it's done trying to get men into the presence of the Son of God. He didn't criticize their act of tearing up the roof. They got their point across. They wanted this man healed. And when he saw their faith, he said to the sick of palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, Sister Richard, reading this scripture, and I'm out there preaching away, and she's looking at it, and she's listening. And the Pharisees and scribes sitting around said, this man speaketh blasphemies. They reasoned in their heart. Said, he speaketh blasphemies. For no man has power to forgive sin but God. And one way, those men were right. But this was God. Amen. Without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. Jesus Christ was God the Son, manifested in the flesh. He did not think it robbery even to be counted equal with God. He did not back up when God said, I've given to you all power in heaven and in earth. And when any time He said, thy sins be forgiven thee, He had power to vindicate that prayer. He said, why reason in your hearts? For He said, whether is it easier, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, take up thy bed and walk. But you may know that the Son of Man hath no power on earth to forgive sin. He said to the man sick of palsy, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately he rose up, took up his bed. Remember, there wasn't room for him to get in, but now they make room for him to get out. The power of God was upon him. Amen. They made room for him to get out of that place. When the power of God comes upon you, amen, there'll always be room for you to get out and witness for the Lord. Now listen, Sister Rich, reading that scripture. She said, Lord, I know you forgive me of my sins. I know I'm saved. Even though I can't get up from this bed, I know I'm saved. But Lord, it's no harder for you to forgive sin than it is to heal my body. And all of a sudden, faith took hold of her heart. And she said, Lord, it's just as easy for you to tell me to get up, take up my bed and walk, as it was for you to forgive me of my sins. She rolled out of the bed and come out of there walking. Oh, brother, that is faith. I'm talking about faith. Have faith in God. I've said, have faith in God. Where is it at tonight? Where is it at? I've been all over. Don't mind not criticizing. I put myself right in among the bunch. Occasionally we have a few healings. Occasionally we have a few miracles. But they're not very many. I've been all over. This year I preached 2 camp meetings in Florida. I've been to the West Coast for a meeting. I preached a camp meeting in Virginia. I've been to Savannah. I've been to the state of Maine. I've been to Gilbertown. And I asked with Gideon of old, God, if you're really with us, then why has all these things befallen us? And where are the miracles that our fathers told us of? Is this message too hard? If I was a preaching against short hair, every long-haired woman be backing me. And nearly every preacher. But oh, it's hard to say amen when our faith is so weak. But I'm telling you, they don't need a big faith in a little God, just a little bit of faith in a great big God. And we'll see the works of God manifested once again. I'm longing for it. I'm searching for it. I'm reaching for it. You say, well, Brother Rich, do you think you'll ever make it? If my faith can get to the place. You remember Brother Corley? Oh, Brother Corley and Vice, you remember him? I was over at Brother Tom Young's church preaching revival. Oh, Brother Corley, on the last night of the revival, I'd already closed out, been away from Sister Rich 2 weeks. Already closed out, getting ready to go home. Brother Corley lived a little ways from the church. He walked about a block away from the church and something started moving in his heart. He turned around, come back to the church. I had my car backed in that night. Usually parked front ways, but this time I backed in. Going to leave just as soon as I could get away. Brother Corley came into the hall. Church was already dismissed. He said, Brother Rich, see this cancer here on my ear? And I said, yes, sir. He said, something told me if I just come back here and let you pray for it, that God healing. I said, all right. And I don't take none of the credit because I'm going to tell you my prayer was very empty. I was thinking about Sister Rich and the children. I said, God, heal Brother Court. Heal his ear. And I got my stuff together and got in my car and headed back toward the coast where I lived. 2 or 3 weeks later, Brother Tom Young called me and said, Brother Rich, come over. We're going to have a baptismal service and baptize the new converts that was saved in your revival. I got in my car and drove back over there about 200 miles over there. Got back over there on Sunday morning. Old Brother Corley walked up to me. Old man, you remember him, Brother Fred? Old.